You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media. Hey friends, Katherine here. We are releasing a very special bonus episode of the Girls Gone Gravel podcast today. I am really excited to be joined by some of the women that are part of the West Fjords Way Cycling Challenge. So if you've listened to some of our episodes, we had Nicole Baker, and she talked about going to Iceland last year and riding this route. And then Brooke Gowdy, when she was on our podcast, she kind of hinted at this was coming. And so we had a chance to chat with Lil Wilcox and Brooke Gowdy and Lene Jax from who's organizing the event. And then Maria, she told me not to even try to say her last name, who is a pro cyclist over in Iceland. And we chatted about all kinds of things related to this race, what they're doing to increase equity in the field, and just some of those things that all of us struggle with. How do we have a mindset to take on these big challenges? How do we train when we have a busy life for something that's a 900-mile race? And then also things like, what do you do when you have your period? How do you make time for yourself? So it's a really fun conversation with a really amazing group of women. Whether or not you want to go to Iceland and ride 900 miles, I think you're going to get a lot out of this conversation. And hopefully it'll inspire you a little bit for your next big adventure. So please join me for a very special episode of the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. Well, I am super excited to be bringing you all a very special episode of Girls Gone Gravel. This is a Friday episode. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, you know, we usually come out on Tuesday, but I have a whole room full of badass women with me today that we're going to talk about this amazing event that's coming up in Iceland. And so I'm super excited. I had Brooke Gowdy on the podcast. Well, Christy and I had Brooke Gowdy on the podcast last fall, and it actually came out. You were our first episode back in January, Brooke.
Yeah.
and you hinted at this event that you were going to be doing, but you couldn't tell us what it was. And it was with Lail. And we were like, it's going to be something crazy. So we have you and Lail with us today, and I want to hear the story of how you and maybe Lail, you've been on the podcast before, obviously you've been a super popular guest. Tell us, like, how did you all get connected with this event in Iceland, and how did you get connected with each other?
I'll let Lail talk about how she connected me with the event. And I'll just start with saying that Lail has always been an inspiration to me, as she has for many women. Just her ability to go out and tackle huge adventures and just be so resilient and just such a badass on her bike has been really inspiring. And so we have chatted over the time, I don't know how long we've been chatting, but just had some opportunities to really speak to each other and to encourage each other. And so it was wonderful when I got a message from her. And so I'll let her take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's likewise, Brooke. I'm so thrilled to be talking with you right now, even. You know, it's like kind of back and forth. And when I see you doing things, I'm just so inspired. And I just love your approach. You're like, I'm just going to do it. We're just going to make it happen. And you're going to do your own thing. And then you're going to bring along as many people as you can with you and truly believe in them. And that's huge. That's so unique and so, so cool. So of course, if anything comes up and I'm like, we need somebody to kind of breathe some life into this, I immediately think of Brooke, because she's just like, yes, that's the coolest. So, yeah, a little background on the West Fjords Way Challenge. So the West Fjords Way is a route in Iceland. In the West Fjords, the whole thing is 900 kilometers, so about 600 miles. It's Iceland's first official bike touring route. I went and scouted this with Chris Burkhardt and a crew last September. It was my first time in Iceland, and I was totally blown away. Just the beauty of the land. It's so exposed and wild and dynamic and so unique. I've never been anywhere like that. So beautiful. So we're making this route while we're scouting it. We're like, well, what if we hosted a race on this route? Or what if someone from Iceland hosted a race on this route? And then how would that be? Would you do an ultra endurance race like the Tour Divide, where everybody just starts and goes out and goes as fast as they can and gets blown away by the wind? Or would you, you know, what would you do? And we thought, be really cool to do a stage race so that you have these kind of meeting points where it's like you ride really hard, a huge stage, and then everybody comes back together in a special place with hot springs and hot food and somewhere to stay for the night. And you have this camaraderie between racers. And really, these were just ideas. Lene came in and made it a reality. So it's actually happening. You know, it's happening the end of this June. There will be a stage race. And then, I mean, I really can't speak too much about this. Lene, the organizer, should talk more about kind of her goals and dreams and ambitions with the race, because there were so many cool ideas. Like, how can we get more locals there? How can we get more women there? How can we get more BIPOC riders there? So that's kind of, these were all ideas. And then it was like, well, we want it to happen now this year, this June, 100 riders start together. So really, I was just involved in the kind of dream part of it. But the reality is it's actually happening. So I'm super, super excited that this is coming together.
That's super exciting. Okay, well, you mentioned Lene. So we have two other women on the call. You mentioned Lene. So we have Lene Jax. And Lene is a student, an American student. You're getting your master's or your PhD. Which one, Lene?
Master's. Yeah. I'm a student here in East Fjordur in the West Fjords, getting my master's in community and regional development. So planning a race kind of actually falls in line really well with a lot of the coursework that I do.
That's amazing. How did you end up meeting Lael and the crew that was interested in hosting or had this vision?
So my friend Tyler and I, who's a co-race director, heard they were here, and we ended up meeting up with them for one day of their ride. And I have only been riding a bike for about 3 years, and it's mostly been mountain biking. So this was like one of my first road rides ever. I borrowed a gravel bike and I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep up with these guys, but I'm going to try because it'll be really cool. And it was probably one of the worst weather days that they were having of the whole trip. And I was falling really far behind the whole day. But at the end of it, we all got to hang out in one of the hot springs together, and we just got to talking about their ideas for the race. And Tyler and I got to thinking about how, you know, a race like this is very much tied up into the community development work that we do. And we were wondering how we could make this a little bit different, you know, more than just people coming out to do a race in another country. They come here, they do it, then they go home. But more thinking about how can we encourage people to have more of a meaningful interaction with local nature, local culture. So we kind of came up together with this idea of cultural connections. And because the race will be divided up into four stages, we can require them to choose 2 out of 5 or 6 cultural connection points where they can stop and their race time is paused. And they can sit in a hot spot, or they can visit a local farm or have waffles at a local cafe. And so implementing this element to the race really means that we need someone on the ground here talking with these local business owners and making sure that the race really is embedded into the communities in the West Fjords. So it's been a really, really cool type of project to be working on, bringing in my passion for biking as well as some of the work I'm doing as a student.
That's amazing. And then we also have Maria, who told me not to even try to say her last name, and I appreciate it on the call. And Maria is, Lael just gave me the big intro, but Maria is basically the badass of Iceland cycling, cycling racing. And so this is your home country, Maria. What do you think about this event coming to your country?
Oh, this is a dream come true, because I have been hosting and project managing big races around the island and some big events. And my hometown, I was born and raised in Ísafjörður, where the Westwards Way will start and end. So I have been thinking about why don't we do something like this for many years, but it haven't happened until now. So I was really excited when this cool crew came from America and did ride, have the courage to ride this extremely hard way. It's a big mountains, and I'm so excited for this. And also, it's my hometown, and I have been cycling coach and for 12 years here in Iceland, and encouraging more women on bikes, and that have been there are many women cycling in Iceland. I think there are. Yeah, it's. I think we have some trophies about how many women are on bikes here. So Iceland is really excited for this. So yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You go ahead, Brooke. Over my podcast, please.
I always do.
Love it, Maria.
I'm so excited to come to Iceland, and it's really awesome that I'm going to be able to start the race in your hometown. And so I myself and maybe some of the other women were talking about this. I was able to meet with some of the other women just this weekend and have a beer with them and talk about our plans. And what can you tell us is like a must do or some unique thing about your town? Since this is like, this is about biking, but this is also about making connections and really being able to experience Iceland.
There are not a lot to do. Walk in the town and go to the bakery. You want to go to the bakery in Ísafjörður, yeah? And we are famous for that. And just... have beer and on a small pub there, and just walk around and see all the old houses and the culture there, and talk to the people in town, because Ísafjörður is known to be really, really welcoming. It's when I now live in Reykjavík, but when I lived there, it was almost. You had to take a boat to get to Reykjavík or somewhere else in the island, because you couldn't drive the way we are going to cycle this June during the winter time, because the road were just heavy rough gravel, and it was too much snow, so you had to take a boat. So people in Ísafjörður are really, really happy when somebody come to their town and talk to the locals, have some stories, and chit chat.
Great. I'll definitely talk to the locals and have a beer.
We also get to jump into the fjord at the end of the race.
Yeah
It's really cold.
You are in Ísafjörður. You have big mountains. It's like you're hugged. The mountains are hugging you all the time. Some people find it's really uncomfortable, but I think it's really good in your heart, I think, because I love mountains and they are huge.
Well, you've gotten a race all over the world, and you said you really loved Iceland. And we had Nicole Baker was on the podcast. She talked a little bit about this trip last fall. But tell, what was it about Iceland that was just so intriguing to you?
I mean, everything about Iceland is fascinating. First, you start with the weather. It's crazy wind, but that means that it blows weather patterns through like four different days in a single day. it's like clouds are going and the sun's coming through and lighting something up green. And then it starts snowing and you just never know what to expect. So it's like, it's almost like a show all the time. And that's not even accounting for, you know, the northern lights, for geothermal steam coming up, for cold water and hot water. It's just kind of fantastic to watch. And then, like Maria said, the food is delicious. The baked goods, the fresh fish, the lamb, it's delicious food. I wasn't expecting that because I'm from Alaska, also a northern place. And I was like, oh, it'll be like Alaska. Alaska's very pretty, but it's not as dynamic and the food's terrible. But Iceland, it's really, really good. What else? The people are super, super kind and warm and tough, but not stern. It's like they're used to this hard climate and they're used to helping each other. And they're used to like people coming in, tourists coming in and not knowing what's going on. So it's like, they're very kind of gentle and kind about, you know, giving you advice, helping you do what you want to. They don't tell you what you're doing is crazy. They just kind of smile because everybody comes in with all these crazy ideas. Oh, I'm going to do this in Iceland. And it's like, well, you'll see what you're going to do according to how the weather is. But I mean, it's like, because of that, everybody kind of bonds together. So, I mean, for me, really, it was like that kind of sweetness of the people and then this kind of wild land that you get to pass through. And then the thing I like about this race, about this route, is that it's really not technically hard. A lot of it's pavement, high quality paved roads, very little traffic. Even the gravel is not too rough. So it's like anybody that could ride a bike could ride this. It's just that the stages are really long. So you'll get to see so much every single day. And that's the challenge of it, is that the distance is long, but it's going to be hard for everyone. Everyone's going to be scared and excited. And it's going to be just such a cool experience.
Oh, some of that tension is like relieving a little. I don't know if I've heard that yet, that it's not technically tough. Like that feels really good to hear that, you know, it'll kind of like the Great Divide for me. It's really a battle of the mind. Like just how long can I sit on that saddle?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's not technical hard. It's not. So maybe there are some steep mountains there, but they are not technical. So it's everybody can do this. And it will be interesting when you are riding the fjords and you're riding and riding into the fjord, just to go back the other way, the other side of the fjord. It's pretty tough for your mind, but it will be cool.
That's amazing. So one of the reasons we wanted to record this special episode is one of the things I loved the first time I talked to Lene is just really trying to create equity in the field from the start. So there are some BIPOC scholarships, there's some initiatives for BIPOC athletes, and then they're trying to get a 50-50 split of men and women. However, that has not been like you said, you filled up immediately with men and you have a huge waiting list for men, and then just not as many women have signed up, correctly.
Yeah, exactly. And based on a lot of the women that I've been talking with, I think, you know, this idea was very new and it was a little bit late getting onto people's calendars this year. So I think that's part of it. But I think people are getting super excited about it this year, and that's what's important. And we're really hoping that that momentum builds and that we'll see even more women on the starting line next year. But yeah, right now we still are holding 50% of those registration spots, and we're going to be, we don't have as many as we'd like, but we're doing what we can to get people excited right now. You know, we're recording this podcast trying to, you know, show women that this is a really crazy race, but I think that the way that we're directing it and setting it up is really unique in that we're kind of encouraging you to do it slowly in a way, with these points where you have to stop and you have to take some time to rest and enjoy. And I'm actually even thinking about racing it, and I do not have any racing experience at all. I'm going to train really hard, but I think that just goes to show that somebody with a ton of experience like Lael could come and do this, but I can also try.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask Brooke and Lael and maybe Maria some specific questions that I think, you know, if I were thinking about coming to do this, like what would be the roadblocks in my mind? And so the first one would be, and I think you all have addressed it a little bit, but can I finish this? Like, can I do this? You're talking about the crazy weather. You're talking about how, you know, like it's a lot of mileage. Like, how do you, and Brooke, I know you came in, like Lael's been doing this a long time. You came into this a little bit later and you kind of had to overcome some of those things with the Tour de Bai too, right? Like, how do you like get past those hurdles of, can I do it?
Who's going first?
Brooke, you go first. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
For me, it is about the adventure. Of course, I want to finish. I see myself finishing. I'm training to finish, but I'm excited whether I get to the first stage or the second stage or the third stage. For me, I'm excited to go out there and have an adventure and to experience something new. And when I go out and bike every day, those are my best rides when I don't have a destination or an endpoint, but I'm out there riding for myself and I'm riding for an adventure and to see something beautiful and to have a beautiful experience. And so going out there, of course, my hopes are like everyone else that starts at the start line. But I think something that's unique about me is that it's a challenge for me, not a race. It's a way to challenge my body and myself and my mind to be able to attempt something unique, to see something beautiful, and to just reflect on that experience no matter what stage I make it to.
That's awesome. That's a great approach. Because I mean, think about it. I think really we need to kind of redefine the ideas of failure and success. It's like, it's a failure not to try. It's a failure to be intimidated against something you want to do and be like, oh, I can't do that even though I want to. And then don't worry about, you know, your speed or, you know, the things that could pop up along the way that are going to stop you, because you can't control those things, but you can control getting yourself there and giving it a go. The other thing to note with this is that it's Iceland in June, the best possible weather usually to be there, and it's light all night. You could ride all through the night without lights and just be out there and keep going. And what a magical experience that is. I mean, I feel like everybody in the world should get to see that, you know, coming from somewhere in the north, it's like, it's very special. You have so much more energy because it doesn't get dark. It's so cool to see, you know, kind of this wide open land, a road going through. There are businesses along the way where you could get food, you could warm up, you could kind of regroup and get back out there, you know, and it's like, what an adventure to do that.
Well, I really like that idea of what you talked about really being in the present, because I would say, you know, humbly referring to myself as an athlete, some of the times that I've done my best, some of the times I've had the most beautiful experiences was being in the present and not thinking about what ifs, what if the weather is going to change? What if this is going to happen? What if I don't make it on this first stage? Like, being there and biking and being present, I think is how I experience these long endurance adventures, and has been really helpful for me to have a really unique experience.
I have I have been working with a lot of women because I've been hosting many rides and trips and that thing. Women do things, they think too much. They think too much how it will end. They are not just going for it. If you want to succeed, you have to be willing to fail. But you don't have to fail, because if you start, like Lely said, it's failure not to start. So I would say, don't think too much about it. Just go for it. You don't have to know the end, because you will. I'm going and Lael and you are going to this event, and we don't know how it will end or what we will see and what we, how many great people we will meet. And I will tell you, just to the women, just take one day, just be at the start line, start. Let's see how the first days goes and the second, and say, like, if you cannot go more further in the competition, you just make the good of it. You can ride your bike during the night and follow other the competition and be at the party when it ends. It can go in many directions. And for you to know, it's so amazing riding in Iceland in June. You have sunset during the night and you have, everything is so quiet. You're like, it's like mentally, I live here. And I still, like, I'm blown away still. I'm always, every year I experience it, but I'm still blown away about the nature and the sun shining, you know, during the night. And the weather during the night in our, the wind is most often between like 2 and 4 during the day. So there are calmer wind during the night. So go for it. Don't think too much.
That's great advice from everybody. I the other thing I wanted to ask about is, how do you train for something like this, especially if you have a job? And then I also know, because it's age-based, like sometimes that's actually a little bit easier to execute on those long distance things, because you do have that recovery kind of built in every day. So, like, how do you all approach training for an event like this?
Let's let the pros go last, and I'll tell you how how the everyday woman is approaching training. So for me, it's about getting on my bike and riding, like just time in the saddle, just going out, getting on these beautiful gravel roads in Colorado, whether they're snowy or icy, but just getting out there and putting in the miles. And so, you know, I'm doing a small start and ramping that up. Not to mention just reaching out to other women just to see how they train and to get advice from them. And then, you know, there's the training my butt, making sure I could like sit in the saddle for that long. But I think what's really important for me in this race is really training my mind. I'm really thinking about, what does it look like for me mentally to be able to ride my bike for that many miles? And so I think that those two things are going to be huge for me.
You can, I would say, before Lael will have there, I would say, if you don't have many, many hours per week to ride your bike, you can always do some core workout for your back and your core and for your shoulders and neck. All those you can do it at home every time, even though you don't have time. You have time for those, so your body will be strong to be on the bike for so many hours. So you can always do something, even though you don't have all the time in the world to ride your bike many hours per week. But I would say strength, general strength for your body. And you can also just train your mental toughness by, like, every day, like, just being your life and just throughout the day, see how you react for something in, like, when you're just driving your car or something. Always train your mindset up. So
those are great points, Maria. Lael, I remember the guy that won Unbound 350 last year. He was like, remember, he hadn't done anything long. He'd done like a 24-hour mountain bike race, but he hadn't done a ton of long stuff. He was like, I just knew I had to train my gut.
Yeah, that guy is a maniac. he was like,
well, we would also classify you as a maniac. So
I know, but I was like, you know, looking at this guy and he was like, oh yeah, I'm consuming 1,000 calories an hour. And I was like, what were you having? He's like, you know, 2 chocolate milks, a Red Bull and like pineapple juice. I'm like, whoa, training your gut is right. That's like kind of crazy. You know, it's like a science experiment in there, but really that is a good point about, you know, something long like this, you do have to eat a lot. And you have to kind of figure out what works for you for distance. So, I mean, yeah, maybe you don't have tons of time to train consistently throughout the week, but maybe, you know, building up to the event you do have, you could like 1 month, pick one day where you could ride a long day and just see how your body reacts. See how you're going to pack some equipment on the bike, you know, rain pants, rain jacket, layers, figure out a system of clothing that's going to work, figure out what you could eat along the day that works for you. And for, I mean, I eat mostly normal food. It's like, you know, sandwiches and pizza and whatever. Some people are more like gummy bears. Other people mostly drink stuff, but just figure out what you consistently like, you know, for like a 10-hour stretch, because that's a long time. And then maybe the next month you have 2 days in a row, like a weekend where you could do 2 long rides day after day and then see how your body responds to that. And then you'll realize, you know, kind of your weak points. Like for me, it's my breathing. For other people, it's their knees. For other people, it's their saddle. You know, it's like, or, oh, you realize like these handlebars aren't going to work for you. So you kind of mix it up. So I think kind of having, you don't always have to train long, but you do have to have that kind of experience in the bank that you can rely on. You're like, okay, that worked for me. That's something I could do. And then you also gain the confidence that you actually did that. Like for me, the first time I ever rode through the night, I rode from home in Anchorage, 225 miles to Homer, Alaska. I'd never done anything like that. I was all alone. I ended up at a gas station at 3 a.m. It was freezing. And I was like, I wish I could just sleep on the floor in here. But I couldn't. So I'm just kind of loitering. And then I get back on my bike and I wait for the sun to come up so I could take a nap, like on the ground on a gravel road where it's warm enough to be able to sleep. And then after this experience, my knees like blew up like the size of like softballs. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? And I think it was really like my body was in shock from doing this crazy thing. But then the next time I did something like that, I didn't have the same reaction. I think your body like kind of freaks out because they're like, what are you doing? And then the next time they're like, oh yeah, we kind of know about this. It's like, you're not going to have that crazy physical reaction. Yes, of course, it's going to be uncomfortable in some ways, but like your body, like everything becomes normal over time. Like these miles, this distance, like your body figures out and your mind figure out like how to kind of take it on. So do it, do something like this before the race. Don't have the freak out experience during the race, because also you'll be like so nervous about, well, what's going to happen? Like you do it on your own time or maybe with a friend. And then it's like, you can build on that, you know? So set yourself up where you can take on a challenge in a not competitive setting, you know, set a dot on the map and be like, I'm going to ride there and then just see how it goes. And then if it doesn't work out, you know, it's like you have a mechanical, no big deal. It was just for you anyway.
And also about the time, it's consistency is the key. So if you just have 40 minutes today to sit on your bike, do it. 40 minutes counts. Because maybe you have 2 hours the day after and then 30 minutes the day after that. So use all the time you can have. So many people are like, oh, I just have 30 minutes. Make the best of those 30 minutes or 3 hours or whatever. So
one thing that I've been doing is really embracing uncomfortableness. So I know that this sounds horrible, but I actually kind of look forward to it. And it's because I think about what it's like for me, not to make this too serious, but what it's like for me as a Black woman in the United States. And often, daily, I am embracing uncomfortable conversations or uncomfortable interactions. And I think about how strong I am when I'm embracing that uncomfortableness, whether I am confronting it or whether I am reflecting on it, or whether I'm having to, you know, stand up for something. And I think about how I do that nearly every single day, right? And so when I get on my bike and things tend to be physically uncomfortable, I tap into the resilience that I've built as a person. And I think since this podcast is specifically for women, I know that women here can understand this idea. You don't have to be a Black woman, but I know women understand this idea of having to forge through life with a bit of resilience and mental uncomfortableness. And so I would ask that you embrace that physically, because you know that you've mentally have to do that every day. A mom has to do many things that are quite uncomfortable in life. And it's this, that same ability is the same, is something you can harness on your bike when things tend to get uncomfortable. You can push yourself.
Well, we can end the podcast there. Amen, Brooke. Okay, I love that. And I think that's so true. Like, there's so much of that mental resiliency. And then sometimes when you're able to take that and go and put it into like a physical event, right? Like, then it even builds the confidence of like, oh yeah, like that's something that's tangible that I can see, like I succeeded in that. Where every day you're like, that conversation was weird, like that interaction was weird, and you don't get to see like outcomes of that sometimes. Since this is, as you mentioned, a podcast primarily listened to by women, although I did have one guy reach out to me and be like, I listened to it when I made a joke about the three guys that listen. But I did want to talk about, speaking of an uncomfortable subject, what do you do with like your periods and things like that on these big events?
Yeah, that's just something you have to deal with. It sucks, but it's fine. And you know, the nice thing with this ride is that it's a stage race. So every night you'll have a chance to kind of, you know, take a shower, clean up, maybe, you know, rinse, like clean your clothing. But yeah, that's part of it. That's just one on the list of things you have to deal with, but it's okay. It's normal. Everybody's doing that. And yeah, that's my take.
Yeah. I see it as like, how do you work a whole shift at work and be on your period? You just do it. And we women are good at just doing the things that have to be done. And so I say that's the same here. I mean, there's lots of advice out there about the way that different women do it and the different products that they use. And each person is going to have to figure out, each person that's menstruating will have to figure out what works best for them. But it's really important that, you know, that we, like I say over and over again in this podcast, that we embrace what we're doing in everyday life, because that's the life I'm existing in, and be able to bring that back to the dirt or to the road on our bikes, because we certainly translate what we do on the road and the dirt, and we bring that into our everyday life. So I, you know, that's it.
And it's not like you cannot stop and do, if you know, you can stop during the day, during the ride. And so I would say having a period is no problem. It's like you just, it's just, yeah, another challenge into it. So, and you don't have to race. It's a ride. Don't think about that.
Thanks for talking about that. We get a lot of those questions in our Facebook group of what do you do if you're riding with your period and stuff. And I'm like, we never actually talk about that. And it is something that we all deal with as women. And if somebody's looking for more resources, if you look at Dr. Stacey Sims has a book called Roar. And if you are somebody that tends to have bad like PMS and symptoms, she actually has some things you can do to mitigate, like some supplements and stuff that you can use that could help, you know, if you're like, oh, crap, some people, like, they will choose an event around their cycle because they have such bad symptoms around it. So there are ways that you can help mitigate some of that.
The black boxes, I just want to say that the black boxes as well, I don't know if you know that, but that is a group of black folks that are, I think they're from Giant and Live. And they also did a podcast. And so the other day I was on their website and I got to see that. So I would also direct folks who menstruate to that site as a helpful resource as well.
Awesome. Well, I want to get some more details from Lene, but for Maria, Brooke, and Lael, is there anything else that you want the audience to know about this or, you know, any event that people are taking on? Maybe Iceland isn't in the cards for this year, but they're like, well, I want to try something like a stepping stone this year into kind of one of these big excursions. And maybe that's something I would want to do the next year. So anything you want to leave people with?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to bring up that we've talked a lot about, you know, these intimidating things, discomfort. But on the other side of it, really, the point is the positives are going to by far outweigh the negatives on this one. You know, this is an opportunity to go out to a race in its first year where nobody knows what's going on. We're all doing this together. And then you couldn't be in a more stunning and beautiful place. It's also, if you can't come for the race, the route is free and open to the public at all times. That's the whole point, is like, this is an event that adds energy, but it's there. It'll be there. Come for it later. Take more time. Do it with other friends or come to the race the following year. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to riff on that a little bit, I've watched people that have gone and done the Oregon Trail Gravel Grinder, and it's a bigger event than this. But you do see, like, you really are going to walk away from that week with some really good friends that are passionate about the same things that you are. I mean, you'll get to hang out with Lael and Brooke and Maria for the week. So that should be enough to sign up, right?
Right.
But
yep.
But I think we're all, like, coming out of the pandemic, like, longing for those, you know, reconnections and deep relationships and just that time away from the computer and in beautiful places with people that kind of share the same ethos. So I think that's a huge advantage of, like, taking time for something like this.
I think sometimes it's really hard to say yes to things, especially after the pandemic, where it's felt so comfortable to stay inside and to stay cozy. And so my call to the women out there would be, put on your finest, put on your lipstick, get on the plane to Iceland, and just, you know, you don't have to be a pro athlete. You could just be an everyday, like, you know, just a person who goes to a 9-to-5 like me and does their best to do those things Maria talked about, the strength training, and to get on a bike, even on the days that I don't want to. And sometimes that's only 30 minutes. And yesterday it was only 15 minutes. But that there is space for you here at this race, that Lene has made that space for you. She is committed to making sure that you have room at the start line, and that when you come here, that Maria, Lael, Lene, we will all be there to welcome you. And you'll see me with my red lipstick on and looking my finest, like I am at a nightclub, because that's just my style. And so, you know, I feel very comfortable that I'll get to show up at that start line as my authentic self. And I want everybody to know that there is space there for them.
Oh, thank you, Brooke. Yeah, I think that, like, what you said about making space and having space for everyone was really important. And that was our guiding thought as we went into planning this. And we knew that splitting it, you know, having 50% of the race field for women was really ambitious. But I think that, you know, like, it's a really cool idea. And what we're trying to ultimately do with that and with the BIPOC scholarship that we just wrapped up, you know, we're really excited about being able to take this. It's a brand new race. We can make it what we want. So we did. And I think that, you know, everyone that wants to or even thinks they might want to should get the opportunity to come out and experience this place.
That's awesome. So, okay, a couple of specifics on that. So you have held dates until March 1st is when you need to open it up to the to any men that are on the wait list, because any sorry, that's my dog. Anybody that has done an event knows you also have to cover all your event costs. So so if anybody's listening and they're interested, they should reach out right away. You could, I'm just volunteering them, reach out to Lil or Brooke on Instagram, or Lene, are you on, are you doing the Westfords Instagram account?
Yeah, I'm on the Cycling Westfjords is all things race. So everybody should go over there just to get race updates and see cool photos of the Westfjords.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then this is a stage race. So are you, do people carry their gear or are you transporting gear? Like, what is that like? And is the, if I ride it, is there a meal set up for me every night?
Yeah, great question. So first off on the meals, we are providing a group dinner and breakfast every day of the race. So that's, you know, your main fuel for the day is covered at least. And then the rest of it is completely self-supported, with the exception of we will be transporting some tents. That is our plan. We're still recommending if you want your own tent to bring it. Some people will also be staying in the hotels. Unfortunately, there's only a very limited hotel number, so most people will be camping. And I know that most people will want to bring a tent that they're familiar with, and also just having it if they wanted to take a quick nap or something on the route. But we will be transferring tents for anybody who chooses to do that.
Well, so you could just ride with basically the stuff you need for the day, that your nutrition, your rain gear, stuff you would need just in case the weather.
Yeah, shifts. We do have in the race handbook that we are asking everybody to bring at the very least an emergency bivy just for safety reasons. And so I think a lot of people will choose to just carry a tent instead of that.
Yeah. And then Maria, what's it like? Like refueling in these towns along the way, are there places to, like, if you wanted to stop and get snacks, are there gas stations in Iceland?
there are not many gas stations on this way, but Lene, where maybe it will be good to make a card, a map where you can mm-hmm. And Lene and they have probably connected all the gas stations, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a list of all of the refuel spots. That could be anything from a cafe, which we will make sure is open during reasonable hours during the race. And then some markets, some restaurants, and the very few gas stations. Yeah. But everybody will have access to that map within about a month or two before the race starts, so they can start planning out their ride days.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you can always have, there are not, yeah, you will be able to get some food along the way, so fresh food and that will not be a problem.
Fantastic. Okay, and then where, if somebody wants to sign up, where do they go and what are the exact dates again?
So for signing up, you're going to go to cyclingwestfjords.com and then click on the Westfjords Way Challenge on our header. And then the exact dates are from June 28th through July 3rd. And I think people will want to be there one or two days on either side of that, at least just to get to spend some time preparing and then relaxing again and experiencing the town and the rest of the region.
Awesome. Well, hopefully you will have some folks reach out to you and be interested in this. And if this just like sparks something and you can't do it this year, make sure you're following them on social, because then you'll kind of get that inside look at this year. Follow well, Brooke, Lael, and Maria, do you want to tell us your socials too, so people can just follow your journeys on this summer if they can't make it?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, go for it, Brooke.
Well, mine's simple. It's Brooke, and Brooke is spelled with an E, G-O-U-D-Y, so at Brooke Gowdy. And you can follow me on Instagram. It's the main place that I post all my adventures.
Yeah, you can see me ride in headwinds in Iceland on my Instagram. And my Instagram is just Maria Ice, you know, Maria and Ice. So you can find me there. I write a lot. So yeah.
Yeah. Mine is my name, Lael Wilcox, and my wife, Rue, will be shooting the race. So she's going to get fantastic photos of Brooke and Maria and Lene and all the other women, because that's a huge deal to me, is, you know, documenting these rides and sharing these stories so other women could imagine themselves being there and doing it, and also see what they're missing out. You know, it's like, you got to get there. You got to see it in person yourself. It's captured beautifully in photos, but feels different when you're exposed to the elements and you're riding through it and you don't know what's going to happen.
And also I want to say, if any woman wants to come and don't have a partner to come with to Iceland, come just by yourself, connect us, and we are waiting for you. I'm waiting for people come riding here. And so come alone, be a solo. And it's so much fun being solo on a bike, because you know how the cycling community is all over the world. It's like you have friends in every town. And so connect us. If you are coming solo to Iceland, connect us. So we are waiting.
Definitely. And on that note, we also have a closed Facebook group for anyone can ask to join it. We'll let you in, and you can just ask people what their plans are. You can work out hotel shares. You can ask questions about training. It's pretty fun. People are posting a lot of fun photos of their training rides and all of their indoor setups. So.
Yeah, and also like how they will pack on their bike, mm-hmm. and etc. You don't have to know everything. You will ask the other people and get the advice. So,
well, this has been fantastic. I almost want to sign up to come to Iceland this summer now.
Catherine, you should do it. Come on.
I can pick you at the airport. So.
Oh man. Okay. I'm going to look at the website. Well, thank you all so much for your time today. And we're so excited, whether or not I'm there, I'm so excited to hear all about the stories from the summer, and look forward to seeing what happens with this event.
To live your healthiest life possible, you need to understand what's going on inside. Inside Tracker takes a personalized approach to health and longevity from the most trusted and relevant source, your body. Inside Tracker was created by experts in aging, genetics, and biometric data from Harvard, Tufts, and MIT. It provides personalized health analysis and clear recommendations, plus an action plan on how to live a longer, healthier life. Inside Tracker can also calculate your biological age, which is the rate you're aging compared to your chronological age, as well as ways to lower your biological age. The thing we love most about Inside Tracker is that they give you recommendations on things you can control to optimize your health, like food, supplements, workouts, and other lifestyle choices. And did you know that you can use your HSA, HRA, and FSA to buy any Inside Tracker plan? Which means you can purchase Inside Tracker using your tax-free dollars. Oh, and it gets better. For a limited time, you get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up. So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body, along with the science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working, visit insidetracker.com/feisty. That's insidetracker.com/feisty.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.